coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the night.
Are you ready for Christmas Eve? I want to hear Batman's what's the actual name of the poem that you
Robin read? Didn't lay an egg.
Yeah, right.
What?
That's not a creature was stirring because they feared the night. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston. You there?
I'm the Jedi Cole.
Oh, here we go. He is the Jedi Cole. No, he is. He is. Trust me.
I am
me.
The day.
He is the day.
Well, I'm probably the night, because if I go out during the day, I'd like burn real badly. So.
Yeah, you got a lot of SPF. Real high SPF. And speaking of real high SPF, we're starting a new blazing hot story arc.
Oh, we are. This one is one that has probably been sitting in the queue for about 7 or 8 months, just waiting its turn to surface. There are more story arcs than you can shake a stick at that are anywhere from months to years in the future.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get worse the more my brain starts ticking out more things.
Yeah, my brain started up too. So get ready, because mine tend to be really weird and esoteric, so prepare yourself for that.
What happened, the genesis of this was I got thinking about an old Superman family comic book I had as a kid. And I began to think about, you know, what a curious thing that is, Superman family and the so-called Batman family, and how there are all these families that just sort of form around. They're not actually relations. It's sort of like the family you choose, or in the case of our first subject, the family that had to choose you. Adventure-eyed teen.
The family that you press-ganged into serving.
And so naturally, the only place you could begin, even though it started with reminiscences about a Batman or a Superman family comic, the Batman family is the family that really needed exploration.
Yeah. And you know, where if you ever need a place to start with comics, you can always start with Batman. That's just a rule.
Like, yeah.
Everything goes back to Batman somewhere along the line.
I think if you go back and listen to all of our prior episodes, you're going to find that, you know, over 280 episodes, every one of them started with Batman.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that just we opened with Batman every time.
I'm curious. I want to see a Venn diagram for the number of times that in each, or not the number of times, but how many episodes we've actually talked about Batman during. I probably, it's got to be 279 of 280. And the one we didn't was probably the first one we ever did about Batman. Somehow that's the
one
we
didn't talk about Batman at all. I got off on that Aquaman kick, and that was the end of it.
RoboCop, and never stopped.
My projected Aquaman versus Steve Zissou.
Oh my episode. God, no. That's amazing. I want to see that happen worse than just about anything I've ever heard of before.
They're on a rescue mission to get Mira back. You know where this is going.
King Shark?
No, the Wife Aquatic.
That's good. That's good. I just wanted to say I'm going to kill that fucking King Shark.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what I want.
And this time, the interns all get Glocks.
I need to watch that movie again is what I need to do. Damn it.
So let's jettison the sugar crabs and the stolen coffee pot makers and move into what we're really here to talk about. We're here to talk about Batman.
We are, and not even so much Batman as the people that Batman has has chosen to force to surround himself with. That's right. At some level, at what point does it become Stockholm Syndrome?
Exactly, very much. Batman's a tough nut to crack.
We've been trying for 8 years or something, and we still haven't quite got there yet. But the idea of the family unit in comics is just, it's really, really interesting to me when you start looking at the characters that, because as a story, right, you need ancillary characters. You need people to move through that story and, sometimes in spite of your protagonist.
Exactly.
So we've talked about how Robin came to be. We've talked about how, poor Alfred, the most put upon character in comic books. We've talked about, all Catwoman. We've talked about all of these people. The question really is, why are there so many? Why do they surround themselves with Batman? And B, why do they surround themselves with each other? Because you have a group that's larger than the largest iteration of the Justice League running with Batman at any given point in time, for real.
And it just keeps getting bigger depending on what kind of editorial mandate comes down the pike. And, you start out almost the first editorial mandate is Robin.
Yes.
We have to soften the edges of this brutal, punching, killing machine of Justice. And we can't have him take time out to meet a girl, fall in love, get married, because you'd have to get married. I mean,
right.
Fair,
what would the neighborhood think?
Well, I mean, every single character. I mean, back then, even Dr. Doom would have gotten married before, It would be unseemly for anyone to have a baby out of wedlock. And, you don't have time for that sort of thing. In fact, look how long it took. Damian Wayne was in the oven for 27 years.
And he's still only 14 years old.
Exactly. This kid had a longer gestation than a blue whale. I mean, good God.
That's very, very true.
One little tryst in a graphic novel, and years later, it's like, 20 years after the war, and there's a knock at the door.
Yeah, right? Wait, I have a real son? What am I going to do with all these other ones that I've collected over the years?
Well, the ones that are still with us, anyway.
And I think that's, what drives Batman to create a family the way that he has, obviously, is a psychosis around losing hits.
Yes, I think that's why he's got the biggest family.
Which is interesting.
Because, it's like, I was the only child, but I've got 150 siblings now. They're not your siblings. They're not your children either.
Which is interesting to me because every hero in DC and most of the ones in Marvel have lost their family, and they didn't do this. Superman lost his entire planet. Poor Superman's problem. Are we doing Superman in this arc?
We are doing the Superman family.
All right, then I'm going to save it because I got a lot to talk about.
In fact, the title
there.
Of that episode, of that issue, is "The Last Son and Then Some."
Yeah, I got a little riff there that I was thinking about. But I like to imagine this, Cole, when I'm thinking about it. When you positioned this to me, my mind immediately went to Thanksgiving. And I started thinking, you got a family, you've invited the entire family over for a big Thanksgiving. How many tables do you need? And what do those tables look like? Who's sitting at those tables? Because you've got a big table, you've got your big, I guess, quote unquote, adult table, the adult's table that's going to house.
You're going to have your big, like, Game of Thrones banquet table.
Yeah, but that's going to house, your Batman, your Nightwings, your Catwomans, those main key components. But then
you've got your other ancillary family like Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, which have to be at their own table, right? So you've got, like, Gordon and...
Harvey Bullock and the, you know, some of your minor players.
Right.
You know, Batgirl gets to sit at the big table.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
But then, like, you know, over in the corner with a little dish on the floor is Man-Bat. You're like, what the hell?
Just right, right. Over there with Ace the Bat-Hound and the Bat-Cow, yeah. And you got Man-Bat in the corner.
And Man-Bat, he's like, I'm a doctor, for God's sake.
I am a brilliant genius.
I'm a Ph.D.
But no, that's what I started thinking.
Oh, he's about. Trying to sell us something. Because is he cute? He's so human.
He's doing long double blackboard equations. Oh, that's adorable.
He's learned a new trick.
But so, and then I started thinking about it in another way. What's another? So you can have a family, right? You can have a family in the traditional sense, or even apply a non-traditional family to the traditional idea. There's another type of family, Cole, and that is mi familia, in big air quotes, the family. Then I started thinking of this, of the Wayne organization as, what if it was more like a mafia family?
Oh, okay.
And then I started getting
Mario
somewhere.
Puzo's Batman.
God, wouldn't that be great?
There's just so many places that need to be things that need to be explored.
But think about it. You got your Capo. You got your Godfather. You know, you got your Bruce Wayne. You break it down into lieutenants, and each one has their own group, right? You got the Outsiders. You got Batman's core group. You've got you got consiglieres in the form of Alfred and Gordon. I mean, it breaks down like a mob.
Lucius Fox,
exactly. It breaks down to the hired muscle and the toughs at the bottom. Yeah. Like you've got if this was a movie about the mafia, there would be, you know, charts with faces on boards and lines drawn to them, like. This is a real deal, like crazy stuff. We've already said he's possibly the most dangerous person in the DC universe, only because he keeps convincing children to come to his house and run a gauntlet. And now he's not even doing that. I've been reading a lot of The Rebirth, and it's actually pretty good. A lot of it's pretty good.
Okay, so no more kids and live fire exercises?
No, there are. It's not Frank Miller style, but now he's I guess in a sense hired Batwoman to take up the mantle of the trainer of his new kid army. So, you know, spoiler and all of these kind of upstarts, Orphan, otherwise known as Cassandra Cain, who definitely is in the Bat family. All of these guys are being trained by Batwoman. While Batman's out fighting crime, she's training the next generation of psychotic ass kickers. So, like, there's always something going on with the Bat family. So, what else is there? It's the lost parents. What else falls into that, Cole?
Well, there's all kinds of, you know, and speaking to the mafia, for goodness sake, you had Huntress, who literally comes from the mafia and is trying to live that down.
No, absolutely. And she lives it down by doing exactly what the mafia does.
against them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is the entree into the Bat family is often that your crime fighting technique is so mirrors that of the Batman that you kind of get invited over to the house.
You keep talking, because the more you talk about it, the more it sounds like the mafia.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Keep it coming.
You know, eventually, you know, you might become a made man like Robin.
Dick Grayson, absolute made man.
They opened the books and they brought him on board.
You'll do this for the family, right?
That's right.
You'll join Spiral for the family.
You come to me on the birthday of my butler.
God damn it. That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I did. That's all the show needs. I wish we could do that. I wish we were a good enough show.
Oh, my God.
A good joke, just end the show. I wish we were that good. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 3 hours. Just end the show on the best joke. It's not getting any better than that. You guys can stop listening now.
That's right. From here on out, it's just a bunch of conjecture and discussion about bad characters. You know what the score.
So, like, what role... So, if Batman is the daddy, you know, what roles do these people fill? Because, like, you know, Nightwing, obviously, older brother, I guess? Like, I'm just trying to put it together in my brain to see how this all works. Because if you're not looking at it like a military,
yeah,
or a mafia, there are certain roles that need to be filled, I think.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you just take it from the standpoint of pure family dynamic,
right?
And look at it in the way that you kind of begin to build the family that you choose, where you have like, okay, you know, the house is a god awful mess.
Yeah,
but you can come over because you're family.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, if, like, Alfred took ill for about a month and Wayne Manor just went to crap, you know, Azrael and Spoiler could drop by.
Sure.
Because they understand. They're family.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, that's part of what you have here is you get a dynamic where you sort of, through long association and the capturing of, I won't even say Bruce Wayne's respect, I would say Batman's respect, because you are not dealing with Bruce Wayne.
That's true.
You are dealing wholesale with Batman.
You're absolutely correct. Yes, I agree with that. Well, and we've already said that. Bruce Wayne doesn't matter because Bruce Wayne is Batman's alter ego.
Exactly. Bruce Wayne is what Batman does when he's not working.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. I would 100% agree with that. So,
you know, you start with Robin as kind of the sympathy case.
Yeah.
No, I know what it's like for you. Now you're going to know what it's like for me. Frank Miller much?
Right.
You begin to get, like, interested parties. Let's look at the interested parties. That would be characters like Spoiler or Batgirl being the first interested party. The first to come along and say, you know, I want to get in on the Batman gig. I have something to offer.
Sure.
And, you know, I dig the whole alter ego thing. And, you know, there's just so many... There gets to be a point where you can literally work your way in by impressing the Batman. It's like, you're like me, but a girl.
But they tend to not be like a girl. You know, they tend to not be like Batman. I think that's one of the things that Batman's ultimately trying to attract is people that are not... You know, you want the next generation, you want your children to have a better opportunity than you did and live a better life than you did. Well, Batman doesn't have any, well, I guess he has one now, but he didn't have any actual children. So
well, he didn't know either. I mean, he was like on a bender and Ra's al Ghul land. And,
he was in a justice bender and this is what ends up happening.
That's right.
But so, like, he just starts grabbing kids off the street and trying to give them a better life than he had. I think that goes beyond money and opportunity, and it speaks to, you know, he looks at Jason Todd as a failure because he couldn't make him not angry and crazy.
Yeah.
You know, where he sees Dick as a success, which I'm going to put on a shirt, he sees Richard as a success because, you know, Richard's fairly lighthearted. Richard, you know, Richard doesn't let it get to him. Richard is, you know, Richard is the high flyer, the fearless acrobat.
Yeah, and he's managed to parlay his vocation that was likely foisted on him from infancy, as circus families do.
Right.
And, you know, the whole Robin gig allowed him to kind of be himself in a way, while simultaneously having his entire life dictated to him the same way his goddamn parents had done. it gets to be a little insidious there after a while. But I think there are different ways. You have the Batman the collector, you have Batman the child collector.
That's so awful, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad that we've not really looked at it this way up until now.
Alright.
But you have Batman the inspiration. So Batman becomes the paragon, the beacon in the Gotham Knight that attracts others to the cause.
Sure, yep.
Your various Batgirls, Batwomen. And then let's take a look at, let's just fast forward to a much more recent, chronologically speaking, phenomenon in the Bat family, and that's Batman Incorporated.
Yeah, they get their own, they've got like a big table in the garage.
Yeah.
At, you know, they were like, oh shit, I didn't think that, I didn't think Knight and Squire and Man of Bats and the El Flamenco, and I didn't think they were going to show. Like, they never RSVP'd, but here they are. So, and I just found there was a Batman of Russia that I didn't know about.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that myself. We'll take the net off the ping pong table.
Yeah, right?
throw a cloth over it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Hey, I've been there. But let's look at Batman Incorporated, because some of the characters already existed, like Knight and Squire.
Sure.
Knight and Squire was created to say, you know, what if London needed a Batman and Robin? So naturally, they would emulate Batman and Robin in a very English way. And then you start to have this sort of deliberate every country needs a Batman.
Right.
And Batman literally is going around either engineering this or just putting his stamp of bat approval on it if you are already out there, and creating a network where everybody can benefit from the apparently, I mean, Gomez Adams thought he was rich. But Bruce Wayne has like got more money than God, literally. And God owes him money. But, you know, they can tap into these resources and get lots of bat tech to up their game no matter what country they're in. And, you know, obviously Bruce Wayne is very thoughtful and inclusive, unlike comic readers, apparently, you know, including a Muslim Batman, as it were.
Yes.
In France. But I take us to Batman Incorporated because I want to sort of retro-engineer I would argue that Batman Incorporated began with Robin.
Hmm, interesting.
Robin is the prototypical next Batman.
Okay.
As you were saying, you know, you want to pass the mantle on to your children. He was going to be the next Flying Grayson, but, you know, that didn't pan out. But you take the relationship with Batman and Robin, and the further inspirations that spring from that, with the advent of Batgirl, and you know, suddenly Alfred's having to keep a scorecard of who is and isn't allowed. It's like, you know, Ra's al Ghul just has a hall pass. But you get characters, you see Robin continuing long after he's effectively gone solo by taking up with the Teen Titans. And, you know, growing into a strapping young man who then decides to take on the mantle of Nightwing and have a, over the years, a Wasp-level costume array.
Right.
But, you know, when Batman, where these things really get stepped up, because you had Huntress, you had some others around, but where things really begin to step up is when you get when Bane comes along and breaks Batman's back. And it becomes kind of like the reign of the Superman. All of a sudden, character inflation sets in.
Right.
You get Jean-Paul Valley coming in as, what is it, like the Sacred Order of St. Damas?
Yes, the St. Damas.
Oh, sorry. That makes much more sense. But you're starting to get a greater volume of characters that are inspired by Batman and are trying to fill in his absence.
Yeah. 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 You know, absolutely. The battle for the cowl was crazy.
Yeah. And another one where, you know, everybody wants, because that's the point. The battle for the cowl is where everybody realizes if you can be Batman, be Batman.
When that power vacuum opens, everybody's Batman. Like, whoa, yeah. Whoa, what? I'm sorry, what?
But I think you see the genesis with Robin and the evolution through characters like Batgirl to the point now where if somebody has superpowers or capabilities and wants to go into crime fighting, the first thing they're thinking of is what wouldn't be a cool name that's Batman-like?
Sure.
Because I want to get in on the Batman franchise. So in a way, it's kind of heartfelt inspiration, and in a way, it's kind of lazy.
I do think that at some level, though, it's not as much lazy as it is you're franchising out something that works. I guess in my mind, that's sort of the way I feel. Like, okay, obviously the Batman method works. I need to buy licenses for the Batman method, and you go to Batman and you say, I need to license your thing, and he's like, well, all right, but here's the catch. You've got to stay in my basement for 18 years.
Yeah, they didn't tell you that in the ad in the back of the comic where it shows the little guy getting sand kicked him on, and Batman comes up and just cold cocks the tough guy and, you know, dislocates his jaw.
Right.
And says, you too can be Batman. And you're like, okay. And then, oh, I didn't realize I had to, like...
You're like, I don't know if I'm good with this, though. Like, no, you are. You're good with it. Don't. Like, no, I don't feel okay right now. I don't
you
feel
will
safe.
Feel okay.
Yeah.
The longer I tell you you'll feel okay, the more okay you'll feel. There's a name for that. It's called the Bat Method! No, that's not what it's called.
It's called a Bat Method. I developed a Bat Method.
It's like, no, it's Helsinki syndrome.
Yeah,
right?
But you didn't. You just forced kids to live in your basement and put on costumes. Like, I don't understand what's happening right
this
now.
It's like the Manson family of crime fighting. It's not right.
It's a Manson family of crime. Oh shit! No, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
it's pretty much what it is. But it's just one of those things that's pretty. It's evolved in such a way, and yeah, Batman Incorporated. You know, it's always very, very purpose driven when he does this. So Batman is theoretically one of the smartest people in the DC universe, right? That's what we're to assume. My problem with believing that is, so Batman goes out and builds these purpose-driven teams, Outsiders, Batman Incorporated, what he's currently doing. And he does it pretty regularly. Like, he'll have these teams of, you know, he's got a core group, and then he has these ancillary teams. You know, the Outsiders table can't be far from the Batman Incorporated table, you know? So, you've got these teams of people. The problem is, once that threat is over, those people still exist.
Yeah.
Like, you've built this purpose-driven team to do these... You know, to take on these things. Well, the problem with that is they're still there, and your threat's over now. So, what are you doing, buddy? like, what's next on your what's your big idea now? Well, let's just bring them, bring them all back to the cave. Like, what? What? That, no. We don't have room for that. All right, well, then we'll build another cave.
Did you see what happened at Thanksgiving?
Right. Well, then we'll build another cave. We'll build... I don't know if that's going to work. Like, that's... But
Master Bruce, you don't build caves. Nature does.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do, Alfred. But that's all I'm saying is...
I'm bad effing man.
All I'm saying is that Batman's crazy. That's... I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Well, I think if you look at the movie The Dark Knight, there's a line about this one guy that's been that I think Harvey Dent had captured, or somebody, you know, and he's Batman's telling him, you know, this is just the kind of psychotic that the Joker attracts. And I think that crazy attracts crazy. And, you know, the elephant in the room is Batman's, you know, the chief crazy.
He is.
But everybody that flocks to him has to be a little bit off kilter themselves.
You know, I completely agree with that. But my other kind of argument there is when they realize that they're crazy and they try to get out, they can't. Because what has happened...
It's pulling me back in!
Because what has happened, if you look at, like, Nightwing or Robin or anybody who tries to go straight...
Yeah.
You know, the problem then is you've built a menagerie of supervillains... And regardless of who you are or what you've tried to do, enough people know your secret identity that can hold it over your head. So you've got that going for you too. It's very hard.
At all times.
Yeah, it's very hard at that point to break away from the life that you inadvertently built when you were 14 years old. You can't walk away from that. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts. It really is. It's nuts.
Yeah,
this has happened.
It is an inescapable family. So again, it falls very nicely into the whole crime family dynamic. And then it also becomes a bit like a soap opera family, because right when you think somebody's been dead all this time, Jason Todd shows back up.
Right.
Talia al Ghul shows up. Post-pregnancy by over a decade.
Sure, yes.
It's like, oh, by the way, you got me pregnant, and I had our child, and I'm finally... Let me tell you, things just kept cropping up. There was the Ubus were... you know, there was some trouble with the Ubu family. And
the Ubus.
And, you know, the League of Shadows, just constant paperwork.
Just constant paperwork?
Well, no, really, she's, you know... Talia al Ghul's a modern girl, but... Raj is kind of old-fashioned. I mean, good God, the man's 1,000 years old. So he just... Going paperless is not in his vocabulary.
Shiva just kept showing up. We weren't even sure why.
Yeah, she just would show up, you know, and be like, oh, you got some chips or anything? It's like, do you ever, like, buy anything for yourself? You just show up at other people's secret lairs. And no, Raj is very accommodating of that, because admittedly... you know, there aren't enough fingers and toes to count the number of times that, you know, he's kind of mooched off Alfred.
While
I wait for the detective, yes, I rather anticipated that. Here's a ham sandwich and a Snapple.
Well, and I think we have to acknowledge what we always acknowledge, which is that Alfred is the 120% the unsung hero of the Bat family.
Oh, absolutely. I think you can't understate the importance of Alfred Pennyworth, as opposed to who was the other the original Alfred?
Oh, God, what was his name? I had him pulled up somewhere in here. Damn it.
Oh, Alfred Beagle, I think was
his name.
Yeah, it was
like something Beagle. But and there are a ton of like weird, like, yeah, there. Alfred Beagle. Yes, Alfred Beagle. Dumb. You can't. Though.
Yeah,
right.
No. But I think, you know, there was a mini series, I think, titled JLA The Nail, and it was positing that the concept that had always been that Superman was the nail that holds the
right
the JLA. Alfred is the nail.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, hangs the picture of Bruce Wayne on the wall of insanity that is Batman.
It's true. How much control do you think Alfred has over those situations, though? When Batman,
3%.
I think probably about 3%. I think
he's a 3%er. But it's that 3% that never falters. That is the one constant in the life of Bruce Wayne and Batman.
That's
true. Is that 3% of control. It's never 4%, it's never 3.1%, and it is never 2.9% or lower.
I would
agree. It is a steady 3%. It is a constant.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll absolutely buy that. You know, there's no doubt that Alfred is going to be there being Alfred every second of the Alfred to be the Alfred. And it's probably the only thing that's kept a lot of people in the Bat family alive.
Yeah.
To be honest. It's one of those situations where, you know, I can't stop this from happening, so I have to do my best to mitigate any damage that's going to, that's about to be done on this balance beam over a pool of ravenous zombie sharks. I suppose I should step in here and make sure that nobody dies. I'm not going to be able to stop it. But at least I can do that.
Yeah, the gears were already long since set in motion, but if you've got a long enough stick, you can kind of push somebody out of the way. so they don't get caught in the cogs.
There is one member that I did want to talk about, though. And every family, even the Bat family, has an uncle that's crazier than they are. And this is no exception, and I think that we have to include the Joker in the Bat family. I don't think we have a choice.
I think at this point the Joker has just been around so long that everybody assumes he's related to the Bat family.
Well, I don't even think it's assumed. I think he's the third cousin that no one ever wants to invite to anything, but he's family. You know, he has to, he gets the invite.
He's
to the
one that's always wanted to borrow money. You know, he never has any money, but he's always got cigarettes.
Right. He has been such a defining force in the Bat family that I don't think you can consider him not a member of the Bat family.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, and in many ways, he keeps Batman going.
Right.
I mean, without him, eventually Batman would incarcerate all the other villains. You know, you got to have the Joker just... I mean, Batman, it would be like in, Mystery Men? You know, Batman would go out of his way to spring the Joker just to have something to do. You know, he's up at Arkham Asylum. Can Joker come out and play? You know, just for the afternoon. I'll bring him right back.
But I think that that's the point, is that certain things define your families, and the Joker absolutely defines that family. You know, he's he's the weird uncle that no one ever really wants to talk to, but, at some point, you've got to invite him, or he's just going to show up. And if there's one thing you don't want, it's him just showing up.
No, it's much worse.
Yeah,
if he just shows up. I mean, if you invite him, there's a better than average chance he won't show at all.
That's true. He just to be invited.
Yeah.
But.
Man, God forbid you don't.
And he finds out.
Yeah.
Then all hell's breaking loose. So I just wanted to include that. I just thought that it was. It struck me as interesting that I don't think here, but and I think that he gets that score because there wouldn't be a Bat family, I don't think, at least in the way that we are discussing them, if there was no Joker.
Yeah.
So that's my Joker rant. Also, I think we have at least one more that we need to talk about. I'm going to let you introduce him since you had so much fun last time introducing this character.
Oh, my.
Oh, there's you know.
Let me see. Who would...
You know who it is. He took up residency in the Batcave.
Of course, yes. I swear, you know, sometimes you, the angle at which you're approaching things throws me like, well, yeah, duh. And yeah, in this particular case, we're talking about none other than a just absolutely, I had no idea character that is an important part of the Bat family until somebody drew a picture of the interior of the Batcave that was published as part of the Ringbound Who's Who
right
series. And for some reason, front and center, with a soldering iron or a
he's working on something welder or something. Yeah,
he's there building something or doing wood burning or I'm not sure what. But there is none other than a Snaggletooth Hunchback.
That's absolutely correct. The Snaggletooth Hunchback.
Snaggletooth Hunchback. And when we talked about him on the show years ago, you educated me.
I did. Harold Allnut, our favorite member of the Bat family. Poor, poor guy. Got his start as a henchman for the Penguin. He's a mute, and he's a hunchback. So God bless him. But he got his start as a henchman for the Penguin that would build stuff because he's a technological genius. Finally, you know.
Well, you need some help when you need, you know, you're trying to build 116 different types of umbrella, or I'm sorry, parasol, for any given occasion.
Sure. But of course, as he does, Batman foils the Penguin and saves Harold. And then, in true Batman fashion, hey, why don't you come hang out in my basement for a while? What? No, just try. Yeah, good. You don't have anything to say? Awesome. Just get down there. And Batman took him in, and Harold, you know, built, worked on the Batmobiles, made costumes, just hung out in the Batcaves, hanging out with Alfred and the dog, John Paul Valley at some point, like just making stuff for people until I think it was the earthquake that caused No Man's Land. Destroyed the Batcave, and he got displaced, and that's where he ended up. I think who was he working for back then? I'm trying to put it all together in my head. It was Hush. And then he fell in with Hush and was killed, because that's what Hush does.
Yeah, that's true.
But as a member of the Bat family, to take in this guy and put him to work in your Bat Cave is pretty amazing. That this guy just showed up like, yep, this is where I am now. Does he know that Bruce Wayne is Batman? Was he ever allowed to leave the Bat Cave? We'll never know.
Yeah, but for the destruction of the Batcave, he may never have left and would have died there. That was the plan, anyway.
That was the plan.
But then, you know, Bruce finally had to admit that Alfred was right. Nature builds Batcaves.
Nature builds Batcaves.
And nature destroys them as well.
You come to me at the... What was the line?
You come to me on the birthday of my butler.
Yeah. God damn it. It's so good. We got to start wrapping this up. I want to make sure I remember that. That was, that was fantastic. No. Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts on the Bat family as a whole? Because there are a lot of members. I mean, we could just run down a list. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many that there was no way to touch on all of them. But some of the more remarkable ones, of course, the Huntress.
Sure.
Spoiler was a really clever character.
Yeah, it was.
The evolution of Robin has been an amazing tale over the years to see how different writers have taken that character and really brought it all kinds of places.
Yeah.
Brought him all kinds of places. From, you know, just this brightly colored target to... But, you know, like you said, the list just goes on and on and on. You know, our show favorite, Man of Bats.
Oh, yes.
Well, and just in the research, I was amazed to see how many characters are kind of considered part of the Bat family. You know, the contemporary Batwoman being one of the more recent additions. There was a Bat Cow.
Oh, there's a Bat Cow. Yeah, Damian, and Damian's grown on me. I mean, you look at the evolution of the Robins from Grayson to Todd to Drake to, you know, I guess Wayne. There were a lot of kind of floats in there as well. But yeah. Wayne is quickly growing on me as one of my favorite Robins because he was trained from the day he was born to be an assassin, to be a killer.
Yes.
By the League of Assassins, by Talia al Ghul, you know, that's what he was trained to be. But he's still a kid. So you've got this cold-hearted killer that saves a cow because he likes the cow and the cow is going to be made into burgers. You know...
Didn't he have, like, a kitten that he brought to the Batcave as well? Or
There's... You know, he has his own ace, you know, yeah. Now that he got, which is a Mastiff. He has a Bat Cow. I think he brought a kitten in. He's got a weird man-bat hybrid that happened at some point. That's like that looks like a gargoyle of some sort that I think Strange, I think Hugo Strange or somebody made that he kept. So it's just this idea that this cold-hearted assassin is still a kid at heart, and to see Batman go the other way, I think is the really cool thing about Wayne is. You know, Batman's taken Grayson and Todd not so much. Todd was just an asshole all the time. But yeah. You know, Grayson and Tim Drake and had to make them into fighters. Had to give them the fighters.
Yeah, teach them the skills.
Yeah. Whereas Damian, he's had to teach how to be a kid. Not the other way around, which is a really interesting thing.
What's
to watch.
Interesting also, if you analyze Damian Wayne against Dick Grayson,
yes,
both of them were born into a very specific vocation.
Yeah, that's true.
Into the family business.
Yeah,
and both of them got out through Batman.
That's true. That's true. I completely concur with that. That's absolutely accurate.
Because otherwise, both of them, and mark my words, this is borne out. If you look at the history of this particular company, both of them would have wound up with Ringling Brothers.
Both of them. One way or another.
The most hired individuals are Ringling Brothers. Acrobats, clowns, assassins.
Assassins. Yes.
In that order. It's tough out there for assassins. You'd think it was just, you know, it's not like being a plumber. There will always, you know, even in a that's recession proof. But assassination actually has a season.
Yeah, I'll let them live. You know, yeah. I'm not made of money.
Yeah, you know, you get people, yeah, they're thinking, you know, I could, he's a stone in my shoe. But if I just kind of reposition my foot, it's not so bad. Like I couldn't eliminate this stone. Yeah, it's not so bad now. Now that if I walk this way, with a little bit of a limp, it's okay. So that's why a lot of assassins wind up going and working for the circus.
Oh God. Okay. All right. What else do you have? Because we gotta close.
I don't know if I can.
I can't. But
I love the bat baby. That's just freakish and cute and
yeah. There's bat mites and bat babies and
or baby bat. Aaron Langstrom, the son of Kurt Langstrom, Man Bat. And I guess in closing, I have to get some serious props to Man Bat because Man Bat is just one of the coolest ass characters, especially when drawn by Neil Adams. You know, I want a t-shirt that just says, scree, scree. See how many people get it. And I remember ages ago reading something about the Superpowers collection.
Yes.
And it's waning, no pun intended, age there. It was just the line was dying on the vine. And there was something in this article saying something about, well, it'll be really interesting when Supergirl and Man-Bat join the team next year. I thought, yeah, Man-Bat. But apparently Man-Bat was going to be a damn Superpowers figure.
Yeah, I think they prototyped it and everything.
They did. Oh, my goddamn Batmite, or Man-Bat. And then I just want to give honorable mention to the Bat-Ape.
Oh, goddamn, yes. I will remember you, the Bat-Ape.
The Bat-Ape, DC Comics' first mogo, who also didn't socialize because he was a gorilla.
Because he literally didn't have the part of the brain that allowed him to...
I mean, for him, socializing was sitting in a grove picking nits off of each other.
Right. If he didn't throw his bat shit at you, he was his guano... Do you think Batman calls this shit guano?
Alfred, give me the laxatives. My guano's stuck. Very good, sir.
I like the write-up for Bat-Ape, by the way, because it says, like the rest of the Bat family, he is a formidable hand-to-hand combatant, but has the strength, agility, and senses of a gorilla. So he's an ape? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's funny how gorillas have exactly what gorillas have.
Wouldn't it be weird if he didn't? Wouldn't that be weirder if it was like,
yeah,
and yet he has the strength of a normal man? Like, no, that's just weird.
Yeah. Was it like a weak gorilla? He's like a gorilla, but he was very weak and would have been killed in the wild.
A weak gorilla. Damn it. God damn it. All right. Why don't you shut us down? We could do this literally all night. We could do this.
Too soon? Okay.
No, we could literally talk about Bat Family. We can find some reason to talk about the Bat Family.
But you know, there's a lot of other families to talk about. And next week we're going to talk about the first family of comics, the Fantastic Four family, which is a family within a family.
It's a family within a family, almost within a family at that point. There's almost three layers of family. It's like a seven-layer family dip.
Wow.
Yeah. Suck on that, clown shoes.
That's right. So we're going to dip right into that next week. And I think with that, we need to just point in the direction of your Leaving Gotham sign and... get ready to invade the Baxter Building in a week.
That's right. So why don't you go ahead and plug us up, and we will let people get out of here. I know you've got a ton of stuff going on over at the JCU with the Rancor Pit and all that goodness.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The Rancor Pit live at DallasOnAir.com, the first and third Sundays of every month. We just aired our 100th episode. And we're about to it's going to carry over into the 101st because it was such an ambitious project. And we've got a really big treat 400 episodes later when we do a big retrospective on the 501st Legion in our 501st episode.
That's fantastic. put a bullseye on that and just go for it.
I'm going to announce it right now. But, and we're going to have, like a double size, you know, I don't know what, God forbid. If anybody remembers this crap in 20 years, I'll be impressed. But in all seriousness, check us out over at DallasOnAir.com, first and third Sundays of every month. The third Sunday of every month preceded, that, of course, Rancor Pit is, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central, preceded on the third Sunday of every month by Isle of Toys, my guest, this coming Sunday, we'll be talking with me about the original G.I. Joe, America's Movable Fighting Man.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then in September, we've got a toy customizer who reached out to me.
Oh, that's cool.
For very special episode where we talk about that aspect of toys. All on DallasOnAir.com. We're coming to you from Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. And I'll turn it over to my social media manager.
You can find us at...
You can find us at, what was our latest domain that we know?
JasonMimosa.com. Yes.
JasonMimosa.com.
I've got big plans for JasonMimosa.com. And trust me, Olcon's coming in March. That's all I'm going to say. Just keep an eye on JasonMimosa.com for updates. But if you want to find this show, it's at HK Comics Show. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. A lot of good stuff goes up there all the time. I actually had somebody that I didn't know listen to our podcast tell me this week in person that they were listening to both the Rancor Pit and Hey Kids Comics.
So, oh, very nice.
Yeah, so we can be found with a simple search for Jedi Cole Universe. We are on iTunes. We are completely available on iTunes. So give us a good rating on there if you like us. We are available on every major network with an RSS feed skimmer. So just search for JediCole.com. You guys are awesome. Buy, collect, enjoy your comics.
And I do want to say a very special thank you to Steve McCauley, who a friend of mine forever, the oldest friend I have, who has been a guest of the show several times.
Yes.
And actually listened to a show for the first time.
Yes, Steve!
He was very pleased with the Versus episode, and we hope that he'll continue to enjoy even more.
Steve, since you've been on the since you're literally a friend of the show and have been on it, we will give you some special recommendations. We should really do a recommendations short show.
We haven't done that in a while. Yeah, we need to do like a special or something. We'll do a special on you, Flavius.
That's you come to me on the birthday
of my butler.
So good. I seriously wanted to stop the show right then. I'd be like, we're done. There's no need to continue this show. It's not getting any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So
that blew out. So with that, we'll...
So the first family of the Marvel Universe, the Fantastic Four, until that happens, we have been Hey Kids Comics. Buy, collect, enjoy your comics. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.